Good morning, everyone. What a privilege to be here this morning to bring the Word of God to you lovely people. And it's been a couple of years since I've been here. And a lot changes, doesn't it, in 2 years. Things can happen. And, you know, things just seem to change very quickly at times. And I was over last year, and Steve and I spent some time in the gym together, and then we went for an Ulster fry. And he says he doesn't remember the gym. He remembers the fry. He paid for it. He'll never forget about it. And so we spent some time together. It was lovely. And when I came home from Belfast, the Lord spoke to me very clearly that the cafe that was in the building that we used was closing, and God started to show me within 2 or 3 days to open up a coffee lounge and to do it professionally, but to have it for donations only. And so I've become the barista pastor and make the best cappuccinos and lattes and espressos, but we did it properly, and we've seen people coming into the kingdom of God. And I've been able to minister to more people through that than I have in Milliman a long, long time. And God said to me very clearly, you're not going to go to people, they're going to come to you. Different government bodies are going to come to you. And the NHS has come to us and said, could we use your facilities and could you do the coffee for us? And they've opened a thing called the Oasis. And there, it's for people with mental issues and stuff like that, who come along, and we're able to just spend time listening and talking. And other groups, the Alzheimer's group, the thing about the Alzheimer's group, when they come to order coffee, they forget what coffee they're ordering, so they have to order it again. And it's just lovely to be able to spend time with the different groups, and you know, just God's blessing is there. And doing it. I stepped away, resigned from the prison 2 years ago after 11 years, and that was a big thing for me. And, you know, I struggled with it, but God showed me. I wouldn't have been able to open this coffee lounge and do this. So one door closes, another door opens. But it's not nice to go through change, is it? And to go through trouble and to go through those things. But God's in the midst of it, isn't he? And he's in the message. I believe that I have a message for the church this morning. This is a message that God gave me. And I felt him say to me, I just don't want you to speak this in your own church, but I want you to speak it in others. And the places where I have spoken, there has been a healing of God has been touching people's lives at the different places where I have brought it. And it's just lovely to speak here this morning. So if you have a Bible, turn to James chapter 5. Verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you? Just move that mic down. Is anyone among you sick? Then let them call to the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If you've sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. If you're a child of God this morning, God has imparted his righteousness upon you. And you are that righteous person this morning. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Do you need to say that again for anybody that's excited? The prayer of a righteous person, wow, is powerful and effective. At least one's responding. Amen. Come on, you can respond this morning. It's good to encourage the preacher. Praise God. Is any among you in trouble? Let them pray. Let them talk to our Heavenly Father who hears. Let them talk to the King of Kings who responds. Let them talk to our Savior and Lord, because He is the one that has changed our lives and give us a hope and give us something to live for. Let them talk to our Papa and He will respond. So many times when we're in trouble, we go to other people. We speak to everyone. We tell them our troubles and our woes. And we forget to go to the one who made us, who knows about us, the one who knows everything. Trouble will come. Jesus said, trouble will come. If anybody has said they've never been in trouble, you haven't lived. We've all faced trouble. And trouble will come to our doors at times in the most unexpected time. But James says, if you're in trouble, come on, talk to your daddy. Because he's there and he's here. It's hard, isn't it, when you're in trouble to speak to God at times? Has anybody ever faced that? I lost my mom and my dad within 6 months of each other. And then I resigned from a job that I loved. Trouble came my way and I didn't like it. I found it hard to pray. I found it hard to call out to God. But I had other people praying for me as well. Some people came to a king called Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And they said, there's an army coming against you. A vast army coming against you. And you know verse 3 what it says? It says this. 2 Chronicles 20. Alarmed Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. And he prophesied, or he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. Alarmed Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. Wow. Come on, we need, when the alarm bells are coming, we need to inquire from God. We need to resolve. That word resolve means to place it in your heart, to put it there, not to move in any way, not to waver in any way. Resolved. He wouldn't let anything stop him from inquiring of the Lord. Do you know, Lord, the Lord wants us to inquire of Him. He wants us to speak to Him. He wants us to ask them questions. He wants to answer them. But it's so important. And this is what He does. It says that He proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek Him. What about that? Pastor comes to you and says, listen, I've got a bit of trouble going on. Imagine you saying, Pastor, I'm calling a fast. I'm going to inquire. We're going to get behind you. We're going to support you. The church is going to fast. In fact, I'm going to get other churches in Northern Ireland because you're in trouble. We're going to fast and we're going to pray for you. What would that say? What would that say to your pastor? That would say that you're serious, but it would also say to God, because fasting is saying, Lord, I'm humbling myself before you and I'm getting serious. It would say, wow, God, I'm serious about my pastor. I want you to protect him. I want you to look out for him. And this is what it sent the signal out. We rely on God. We rely on God. Come on, this fast, we rely on, this is a step of faith. Calling out this fast, calling out, we rely on God. It was a signal saying, we're not going to be moved. God, we don't know what to do, but we will inquire of you. Verse 12 says, our God, will you not judge? For we have no power to face this fast army that's attacking us. We do not know what to do. Have you ever been in that position? But our eyes are on you. Wow. Don't know what to do. I don't, because my emotions are up and down. I'm feeling in turmoil. I don't know what to do, God. But my eyes are on you. I don't know how to deal with this. But my eyes are on you. I don't know how to go through this, God. But my eyes are on you. And that's the best place to be, just looking at him. Because sometimes we don't have the answers. Sometimes we face things and they break our hearts. And until you have a broken heart, you don't understand it. And I've had some of those lately. Until you have those broken hearts. But we don't know what to do. But God, my eyes are in you, and I'm going to come through the other side. I'm going to come through stronger, better, maybe even better looking. But I'm going to come through. The other said, "You're Stephen saying there's no hope, Fred." And then James says, "Is anyone happy? Let him sing praises to God." Praises to God. Whether you're happy or sad, I believe praising God is a fantastic thing to do. It was great to see the kids praising God this morning, wasn't it? Lifting up their hands and singing, getting the kids to praise God. Do you know what it says in Psalm 8? That he has ordained praise. He has ordained praise to silence the enemy. Wow. He's ordained it to silence the enemy. Do you see when they were all started speaking in tongues in the first encounter of it? It says they were proclaiming the wonders of God. Wow. They were praising God. They were declaring, "God, you're awesome. You've created the heavens and the earth." Isn't that what we were singing this morning? "You're such a fantastic God." They weren't preaching, because Peter goes and preaches a message after it. You see, praising in tongues is a prayer, heavenly tongues, prayer language. It's when you don't know what to pray at times, and you start to praise him in your tongue and lift your voices up to the Lord. Paul says, "I do it more than anybody." Wow. Praising the Lord. Verse 21, Jehoshaphat anointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him, the splendor of his holiness. As they went out ahead of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures. It's not a moment, love. It endures forever. And verse 22, as they began to sing the praises to the Lord, he set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah. The Lord set ambushes. Come on. Are you in trouble? Are you happy? Listen, start to praise him. And he'll set the ambushes. He'll do the stuff. Not you, the battle. And then it goes on to say the battle belongs to the Lord. He'll set the, start to praise him. Get Spotify on and get all the praise tunes on. And start singing in tongues and praising him, declaring the wonders of the Lord. Come on, church. We need to praise our Savior in Jesus. Come on, have a clap in the house this morning for Jesus. We need to praise him, because he's worthy of praise. Only him. He's the one that's worthy of praise this morning. James is saying, get God focused. Rely on him to bring you through. And then verse 14, he says, is any one of you sick among you? Let them call for the elders. Come on, elders, I want you to listen to this, pastor. Let them call for the elders of the church to pray over them. When someone in our house is sick, who's the first person we call? The doctor. Well, Stephen and Steph, yeah? Well, we've got the doctor, help me. On the elder, help me. We call the doctor. But it doesn't say call the doctor first. It says call upon the elders to pray for you. Now, I would phone the doctor and the elders at the same time. Now, listen, elders. Who's the elders in the church this morning? Put your hands up if you're an elder in the church this morning. Make sure you call him at 6 o'clock in the morning. Don't call Stephen. He needs his beauty sleep. Listen, put a demand on the elders. Church, I can't call me elder. I can't call my pastor at that time. Put a demand on them. That's what the Bible says. You see, we get so, well, do you know what? They're busy. No, listen, do you want to see healing? You need to put demands. You need to say, God, this is what you've said. This is how you've said it. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to respond to your word. Now, if you can leave at the 9 o'clock, leave at the 9 o'clock. I had a lady phone me up at the hospital at 2 o'clock in the morning, 25 miles away the hospital is. My car's broken down, and it says, can you come up to the hospital? This woman wants to see you. And she wanted to give her life to Jesus. And I said to the guy on the other side, is she going to die? He says, no, she'll live till the morning. I says, well, tell her I'll see you in the morning. Come on, we're Christians, we're not mugs, are we? Tell her we'll see her in the morning. I got borrowed a car, went straight up, led her to the Lord. Sometime later she died. I've done her funeral. She's in glory now. We'll get a call sometimes, and it's not as urgent as some people think, and we have to, but we need to respond. Anybody sick among you? You see, it's so important. He says, anoint them with oil. Anointing with oil in the Old Testament. Do you know what it was about? It was a setting apart. They anointed the kings. They anointed the priests. They said, we're setting you apart for God. You're set apart. You're God's. You're a set apart person. Listen, we have the anointing of God living within us. We're anointed and appointed. We're set apart for God. We're God's children. We're the righteousness of God. Anointing with oil is making a statement. The holy power is here. When we're anointing with oil, we're making a statement. The Holy Spirit power is here to heal. You see, a lot of people anoint with oil and they don't understand the whole concept behind it. So they don't bother anointing with oil. I don't anoint with oil every time I pray for people. I don't need to. But the fact is this. At times, anointing with oil, it's there to say, God's here. He's here to heal. The power of God is here to touch you. Anointing with oil is also saying, we believe that the anointed one is here. We believe that the Messiah is here. We believe that Jesus is in the house. We believe that the anointed one is here to touch you, to release you, to set you free. We believe that the anointed one is here. Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. Wow, come on, church. The eyes of everyone in Kingsway were fastened on him. He began by saying them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Wow. Today, Jesus is you here. It says this in Acts 10:34. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And verse 15 says, and I'm not going to be much longer, church, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. What will make them well? Not the oil. It's not the oil. Do you see, when I started, I wanted to get a nice little fancy bottle. Do you see, when I was looking on the internet, there was oil for this and oil for that and oil to take away your warts and oil to take away this spirit and oil. It blew my mind. I thought, what? It's not in the oil. There's no power in that. This is just olive oil bought from Tesco's, $2.99. It's the act that we do. It's the stepping out in faith. It's saying to you this morning, God's here to touch your life in a fresh way. It's not the oil. There's nothing mystical. Oh, when he opens it up. Oh, watch. Oh, it's out. It's already here. The power of God is here. People make too much of things at times. But the most important thing is this. It's a step of faith. This is what James is saying. Come on. This is a step. Most people have never heard this preached like this before. They just know that people anoint people with oil. I'm covered in it now. Somebody's getting a real blessing. It's not putting on the oil. It's an act of faith. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Psalm 103, who forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. Verse 16, he says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. He's not saying go to Pastor Stephen and confess your sins. Oh, Pastor Stephen, I've done this and I've done that and didn't get to the gym this morning or whatever else. He's saying, listen, confess your sins. See if you've annoyed or somebody. Go over and say, listen, I'm sorry, I done this to you last week. I really apologize. Sort it out with each other. Sort the problem out with each other. It says in Colossians 3:12, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Doesn't that make it clear? If you've got a grievance with someone, come on, life's too short. I lost my mom and dad within 6 months. Life's too short. You need to sort it out. You got a problem with a family member? Come on, you're the child of God. Sort it out. Got a problem with a brother and sister? Sort it out, because you see, when you hold on to it, it will stop you from receiving the blessing of God upon your life. Oh, you may get a little trickle, but it will hinder you. Sort it out. We need to sort things out, people, and we need to bring it before the Lord. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. This is what it says, and I'll finish with this verse. For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through the union with him. I've got a union with him. I'm in the union. It's the union with Jesus. No other union. The union with Jesus. God wants to touch your life this morning. You see, we can pray for you this morning. You can sit in your seat and say, oh, well, do you know what? I'll just get the overflow. I'll get the overflow. It's an act of faith, people. Do you not see it? When you get up in your seat, because I'm going to pray for people and anoint them with oil. When you get up in your seat, you're saying, right, you're here, Jesus. I'm going to receive from you. I'm getting up to the front. And nothing is going to stop me from receiving my healing this morning. I need a touch from you. I'm going to get it this morning. That's up to you. I believe that God will touch you this morning. But you have to respond in faith. Oh, well, I don't like to put my hand up. I've put my hand up 100 times. I'm not asking you to put your hand up. Get away from religiosity. I'm saying to you, do you believe what God says? Well, if you believe what God says this morning, then you right now say, right, God, I'm going to receive what you have for me. Well, let's just close our eyes. I'm not going to pray yet because Steve's going to dismiss the church and then we're going to do and pray for the people then. But just to close your eyes. I just pray for every individual here right now, Lord, that they will determine in their heart that they're going to put a demand on Stephen and myself and the elders this morning as we anoint with oil. That they're going to put a demand that we're going to believe for them right now. I'm just going to call the elders up to the front, if that's okay, and Stephen. Hallelujah. Elders, come to the front, and Stephen. Just going to pray for you right now. Come on, let's pray for the elders. And I'm going to anoint you with oil. Lord, I just pray for Stephen. I pray, Lord, that if it's people put a demand on him this morning, that he will believe and they will receive, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for this mighty man of God. I thank you, Lord, for this man who's stood strong. I just praise you, Lord. I just pray right now, Lord, Father, that your anointing power is here, Lord, that as people put a demand this morning, that they will receive from you in the name of Jesus. I just thank you, Lord, for this man of God. Just bless him, strengthen him. Thank you for his faithfulness to Stephen and to this church, Lord. I just pray, Lord, right now for your anointing power to flow through this mighty man of God. Thank you for the faithfulness of these men. Thank you that they've stood strong through the troubled times and the hard times. Bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.